It's Random, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kevin.
I'm Lyle.
And coming up is about an hour and a half or less, maybe more, I don't know, of just random thoughts.
Something.
Based around, we're going to start with a topic, and then it's going to take us in a lot of different places. We've said before that this show could easily be called Tangent, because that's what we do.
It's actually a better name.
Probably is. We probably should have gone with that, but we didn't.
Let's just start a show called Tangent.
It would be just like this one.
Also, milk is delicious. Also, flowers are pretty. We'll just do that the whole show.
All right.
Just say random things. I also enjoy potatoes.
I enjoy superhero movies.
Right.
All
right.
So if you're a listener to this show, you probably know we also have the Fantasy Football Guy show.
We do.
We do that off weeks when we're not doing this one, except for last week, of course, because somebody was in Cali.
Yeah, and it wasn't Kevin.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, we have a couple of other sports shows, the Fantasy Baseball Guys, which is in full swing. You can check them out on iTunes and SoundCloud. And on Twitter as well. So you can check, if you're playing fantasy baseball, those guys are a good source of info. Fantasy hockey guys, even though hockey season's kind of winding down, especially for them because the Caps just lost.
Yeah.
Tim and C, I'm sure they're
devastated.
They are, cause especially to the hated Penguins.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do, right? Yeah. So if you play fantasy hockey, those guys are a good source of information as well. Also, today,
big announcement.
It's live, but it's not officially launched.
We're
going to
launch
tomorrow.
It officially tomorrow. Yeah.
Tour Bus Confidential with Kyle Conkiel, who is Lyle's cousin.
He is.
Oddly enough, Kyle, Lyle. I don't think this is a coincidence.
It's sort of a weird thing. We also have the same middle initial.
Right.
It's sort of really bad.
So basically what this show is Kyle is a musician, hard rock musician in L.A. and around the world. And he knows a lot of people in the business, and these people are interesting as all hell. So this show is basically sometimes up to close to 2 hours of just cool conversation about what life is like for these musicians and, you know, what instruments they play and stories from the road and their take on the world. And, you know, it's just, you know, these people are artists and they have, you know, deep souls. So it's really interesting to hear their takes on all this stuff.
It is. And they just stopped being Scar the Martyr, and they're a new band called Vimic now. So
Vimic?
Yeah, Vimic. So they changed some things around. They just launched a new signal. So, you know, that is cool. But anyway, Scar the Martyr is launching. Tour Bus Confidential is launching. And Kyle talks to these, and there's some really interesting conversations, man. Yeah, it's really cool stuff. It's stuff you won't hear. You know what I mean? You wouldn't know about these people. And, you know, Kyle's been on tour with some bad motherfuckers, man. He's been on tour with Korn and, you know, Rob Zombie. And
well, the thing about having a peer interview you is, you're more likely to open up about things than to have some, you know, schmuck, you know, journalist speaking.
Right.
To
and
you.
The other thing is Kyle knows a lot of these people really, really well.
Yeah.
So they're not only peers, they're friends too.
Right. So the microphone disappears and it becomes a conversation instead of a hey, we're on the radio, you know,
right.
That kind of BS.
Right.
So check it out. First interview is Doc Coyle. I listened to that again. I listened to it again, dude.
It's good.
And you know,
it's a good interview.
And you know, I skipped around a little bit, but
he's an interesting guy.
He's a very interesting guy. You may not have heard of the guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in a few bands that you may have heard of, but definitely worth a listen.
He toured with Lamb of God at one point. Just really, really, really cool guy. And God Forbid.
Right, I think he just started a new band called Vegas Nerve.
It's
good stuff. So no music is played in it, but you know, a lot of conversation, and then you can find the music on your own, so it's really cool. That's on iTunes right now. Look for Tour Bus Confidential. If you're a SoundCloud person, you can find it there with the same name, Tour Bus Confidential.
Right.
And where on Twitter?
At TBC Pac. I can't remember.
Really?
Yo, Kyle always texts me too. Yeah, always asks me. I don't know. We'll put it on our Twitter feed tomorrow anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. So check that out. So enough of that. We were talking about what we could possibly start the conversation with tonight. And, you know, with the fact that Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party, a lot of the, I don't know, appeal, maybe that's a wrong word, but part of the guy's appeal is his lack of political correctness. So we thought maybe we'd jump into political correctness tonight to, you know, maybe talk about where it came from and how it turned into what it is at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think like all social movements, it started from a really good place.
Well, basically just good manners.
Yeah, good manners, but also not using terms in polite society, on the television, et cetera, that offend people. You know, basically, you know, the term faggot is a perfect example, Kevin.
Right.
And we're probably going to say some offensive words in this show.
Lyle will.
Hopefully. Yeah, right. Because you're too PC. I think it's silly to be politically correct when we're discussing the term. So I'm not referring to anybody. But it's a term that I used a lot growing up, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. It just was common.
Right.
You know, it was in music. It was just something that was said.
And it wasn't necessarily talking about somebody being gay. It's talking about somebody being...
It wasn't.
Right.
But when I found out the origin of the word, I was mortified.
Well, actually, you know, a fag is a stick.
Uh-huh.
And a faggot is a bundle of sticks.
A bundle of sticks.
So how were you offended at that?
Because they used to the good wood on witches and stuff.
Right.
They would burn people who were homosexual with the little bundles.
Is that where that came from?
Yeah.
That is horrific.
Isn't that really fucked up?
Wow.
So that was one of the first terms that...
See, I knew about the sticks part, but I didn't know about the burning part.
Yeah, they didn't want to use the good wood. You know what I mean? The guy's just gay.
I got your good wood right here.
Yeah, I knew it.
Sorry, I had to. It was there.
Take it over the wall.
Buddy. I was there. The wood was there.
So, yeah. So, I was like mortified. I was like, wow, I've been saying this all the time and I had no idea. So, that was one of the words that I chose to remove from my vocabulary.
Right.
And it's something that I just don't say anymore. It's just, no. I mean, you know. And I wouldn't even say it to like my closest friends or anything like that.
Yeah, you don't call me that. Which,
no.
If you know, if you said that word, you would call me that.
Right, I would. Yeah, exactly. I called you pretty much every other demeaning word that I have in my vocabulary.
As I have you.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the point I'm trying to make is that these things like political correctness, they come from a good place. Like it comes from, you know, not wanting to offend people, wanting people to feel comfortable. You know. Letting people know you're not a racist or a bigot or, you know.
Like, well, it's not so much letting them know you're not. It's just, like I said, good manners, politeness.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's not, I'm not going to use this word so they'll think I'm not this. Well, if you're thinking that, then you are that.
Well, maybe I came out wrong. I would say that maybe not being overtly racist then. Because there are plenty of racist people that don't use those terms.
Well, let's put
they're still racist.
Dude, here's the thing. You and I are white guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're around racists all the time.
All the time.
And because we're white guys,
it's horrible.
People think that it's okay to say racist things around us. And I'm
they
like,
do.
Really?
It really pisses me off.
It does. It's like, it pisses me off on two levels. First level, because I think that kind of shit is awful.
Yeah.
Second level, because they assume that I'm of a similar thought.
They assume you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, like them.
There was a guy who sat behind me at the Eagle Stadium when Michael Vick was hired as quarterback. And I believe, it was Kevin Cobb back then, right?
It was Cobb.
It was Kevin Cobb.
Vick, yeah.
So it was Cobb and Vick. And they were going to give Vick the starting job. And the guy behind this sat behind me.
Well, I think Vick earned the starting
job.
He
did.
Yeah.
But the guy who sat behind me was a very famous in the Philadelphia area.
Restaurateur.
I won't name him because I don't want to hurt his business with the 300 people that are going to listen to this. But
500.
He was a well-known guy in
We're
Philly.
We're up to 500.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Big time.
Maybe even 600.
So he said to me, I'm no racist.
Which immediately clues you into some racist shit's right. about to come out of
right.
this dude's mouth.
He said, no, I'm no racist. But you can't tell me that a black quarterback can think as fast as a white quarterback. And I turned around to him and I said, Bobby, his name was Bobby. I said, Bobby.
That's why you called him Bobby.
Right. You're not a racist, but you just said the most racist thing I've ever heard anyone say. You literally just said a white dude thinks faster than a black guy. I mean, it doesn't get any more racist than that. That's some Adolf Hitler shit. That's some, oh, he's of Aryan blood, so he must be smarter shit.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't get much racist, much more racist than that.
Right, so...
A lot of things that are based in racism are actually true. You know what I mean? Like, stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason. We see a lot more black athletes because they're better athletes. You know what I mean? People will say these kinds of things. But that is just pure racism. Like, it's just... It doesn't get any more clear. I love that he prefaced it with I'm not a racist, just to let me know that he wasn't being racist. Like he really thought that I was going to go, oh, okay. Right. Yeah, you're clearly not.
What I'm about
good
to,
now.
What I'm about to say is racist, right. But I'm not a racist,
right.
Is
yeah.
what he was trying to say.
Yeah,
which is bullshit because, right. it, you know, and... Yeah, he was a much older guy, right?
Yeah, he was probably in his late 50s, early 60s.
And this
maybe.
Was 8 years ago.
Yeah,
it doesn't excuse it.
No,
but what it you know by way of explanation, I think that people who, I mean, you know, my parents raised my sister and I to see the you know the inside of people and the character of them as opposed to the exterior of them.
Mm-hmm. So did mine,
but still. Occasionally, something would come out of you know one of my parents' mouths. They'd be like, "Really?
Whoa, yeah."
You know, it's like just talking about you know crossing the street when you see, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, and be like, "Really?"
Well, I mean, that things happen. Those things happen, man.
But they're
you my great grandmother.
My mother
would
have been 76 this year,
right?
You know, so I mean, right. when you're she was a little girl in the 40s and 50s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just the thought process.
My great grandmother
people
was one of the most amazing good people. On this planet. Like, she just was a wonderful person. She went to church all the time. Not that that would make you wonderful, but it just added to her character. She was very religious. She was very polite to people. And anybody came by her house, they would always have a hot meal, and she never talked bad about people. But she used the term colored all the time because that's the era that she came from.
Right.
She literally didn't know.
And she didn't mean anything bad.
Not
by
at
it.
All.
It was just by way of description.
Yeah.
Now, there's a person that's very close to me, may or may not be a family member. You know this person.
May or may not.
Right. very religious.
Yeah.
And has been for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Older person into the 70s.
Yep.
You know, everything is the Lord and God but mm-hmm. is hopelessly racist.
Wow.
Hopelessly racist.
Wow.
And I say things like, don't you think that God made everybody?
Right.
Well, of course. Well, don't you think God made everybody equally?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Wow.
Well, why is that?
Yeah, where did that come from?
You know.
Yeah.
But there's no explanation for it. You know, he doesn't, you know, a friend of my nephew's is gay. And my nephew was talking to this person about his friend and, you know, gay with a religious person. The whole thing started. And, you know, this person was talking about how it's a choice. It's not, you know, born, et cetera.
Of course.
And that's a huge argument, which is ridiculous.
It doesn't matter. It's none of anybody's business.
Right. But my nephew said to this person that his friend basically said, you know, it's, you know, only, you know, a small percentage of the population feels the way, you know, is the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I choose that to make it that much more harder for me to find love?
Right. Yeah.
And you know what? You know,
that's a really good point.
That was a great point.
Yeah.
Why would you choose that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people would just to be different, but I think the numbers would be way, way lower if it was just a flat-out choice.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, maybe you would say, okay, well, you know, I want to let my flag fly and, you know, kind of delve into that.
Right.
But then, you know, maybe be bisexual or whatever.
Right, right,
but,
right.
But, you know, a lot, most of the people that I know that are gay,
mm-hmm.
males,
mm-hmm.
basically just... Yeah. walk that line and have never been with a woman.
I know a dude who's bisexual.
When you say you know a dude, you're really talking about yourself, aren't
you? No, no, no.
You?
I know a guy who's bisexual. And like he got out of a relationship with a woman and then started dating a dude. But the thing is that it still wasn't a choice for him. He's attracted to dudes, too. He's just attracted to them. Like, I don't, and I know you're going to make fun of me here, but I could never be bisexual because I'm just not attracted to dudes.
Well, same with me. You know what? Kind of wish I was.
It might be
you
cool.
You know what? Because it would
be
double
cool,
the amount of people you could have sex with
yeah.
instantly.
Yeah, man. Get on Grindr. Lay some pipe.
Plus, dudes are, I think, a lot easier to seduce than women are.
They have to be.
That's a whole different show, though.
Tangent one. Dudes are easier to seduce.
two weeks from now, we're going to talk about sex. So anyway, back to political correctness.
Right.
So we were kind of talking about it. Really, the book definition of this is the avoidance, often considered as taken to extremes, of forms of expression or action that are perceived to exclude, marginalize, or insult groups of people who are socially disadvantaged or discriminated against.
Right. And the term...
When you look at that, you're like, why would anybody not want to do this?
Love the term avoidance. Because that's what it is. It's not outright banning. It's avoidance. You do certain things to avoid offending people. But there are scenarios where you are trying to offend people. Comedians are perfect examples, right? They say horrible shit because it's funny. You can't limit someone's speech because you don't like it. I understand you don't like it, but you can't limit it, especially in this country. We have something called the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, right? It's freedom of speech. The KKK has just the right to march down the street and protest that I do. And that's very important because, and this is the thing, Kevin, this is the thing.
Uh-huh.
I read this somewhere. I'm not sure who said it, but it was one of the founding fathers or somebody really old timey, said that, you know, popular speech doesn't need protection by definition, right? It's only unpopular speech that needs that protection.
Right.
Right. So you're always like people who are, you know, using their right under the First Amendment almost by definition are going to be saying something that a lot of people don't like, you know, and that's kind of why that's the whole point of it.
Right.
You know, popular speech by definition doesn't require protection.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, I think we have to be really careful. And this is where this whole political correctness movement has gone. We have to be really careful when we say the term avoid versus ban. Right. Because saying you can't say something is horrific. That's horrific. You should be able to say anything you want other than I have a bomb when I'm on a plane. Or
fire in a theater.
Right.
Sort of
shit
thing.
Like that.
Well, you know, you're allowed to say anything you want to, but you have to deal with the consequences of that action.
Well, and that's 100%
Don Imus talking about, I think it was a college basketball team mentioning something about their nappy hair or something. And he basically got fired for that. And he was one of the most popular radio personalities in the country.
I remember when that happened, yeah.
You know, and now he said over the course of his career things that were way more offensive to more people than that.
Yeah.
But at the time that he said it, it just blew up into a thing, and there was nothing that his radio company could do other than fire him. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I mean, you definitely have to be politically correct in the workplace. That's one of the most important places that you have to be politically correct. Your free speech is guaranteed by the government, but it's not guaranteed by the company you work for.
You can say anything you want to, covered by the First Amendment.
Yep.
That doesn't mean your ass has to come to work tomorrow.
That's right.
And that includes,
that's a real important distinction.
Right. Everything that, you know, under the very, very large umbrella of sexual harassment.
Right.
You know, you can say hello to somebody, and if they take offense at it, your ass is down at HR.
I don't know about hello, but...
Dude, if somebody says that person, when they were speaking to me, made me feel uncomfortable in this way, you may not be fired for it, but your ass is down at HR.
Like, how do you say hello? Like, are you like, hello?
Maybe.
You like...
And maybe if you say it like that, you deserve to be.
That's what kind of the point I'm making.
You know, but the whole thing now you see on the internet is, you know, you say hello to somebody, you say, "Hey, could you pass me that, you know, hot sauce or whatever?" And you know, and then the woman says, "I have a boyfriend." Like she takes any contact to mean
I think the dude's
coming on. So that kind of falls under this conversation.
So we're going to get into feminism a little bit.
Oh God, do we have to?
Well, new wave feminism is something that frightens me a lot, and it really bums me out because. First of all, there's so many problems with it right now because they speak from a place of equality, but they don't actually address any male inequality issues. And they always say, well, you don't have any. And that's total bullshit because I can name a bunch of them. Like, why don't women have to sign up for the draft?
That's actually being done.
I know, but they haven't in the past. Equal maternity rights. I mean, I can go on and on. There's a bunch of stuff.
Right, when man and woman divorce, even though the woman has not worked in the business, whatever,
or
she gets half the
stuff. I guess it would be paternity rights
versus
maternity rights has always been lopsided towards women. So there's a bunch of stuff that goes the other way too. And I think it's important to have a mindset of equality. That's awesome, right? The problem is this new wave of feminism has gone so far in the other direction that it's taken the name. Feminism and made it bad.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's the whole. You know. Watch your privilege.
Yeah.
Mansplaining.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff that really just kind of demeans the argument.
I mean, and there's a lot of them that are just outright, I want to kill all men. But touting a flag of feminism behind that, which is like they should distance themselves from those people.
Right.
That's stupid.
Right, when feminism back in the old days used to be equal rights for women.
Yeah.
you know, that's something, you know, yeah. most, you know, people with a brain can get behind.
Makes sense.
It does.
And I think it's really unfortunate, and this is what bums me out about it. I think it's really unfortunate that that label has been taken over. It's almost like what happened to the Tea Party in the beginning. In the beginning, it was like this cool grassroots movement that might have been a different political viewpoint. Didn't matter if I agree with it or not. That's a cool thing that people started up, right? And then it got taken over by a bunch of crazy Republicans that wanted to be
power-hungry. Well, see, that's the thing. If it had become a third party,
yeah,
that would have been cool.
Would have been awesome.
Right.
Would have been awesome.
You know, because I would love to have 10 major parties in this country.
Sure.
So that, you know, of course, nobody's ever really going to get 50, more than half the vote, but
the power-hungry people swooped in, and they were like, yeah, I'd identify with this. And then they were.
Why'd you have to put that accent on?
Because it's usually Southern people, dude. Come on.
Really?
Yeah, it was a lot of them. Yeah. I would say the overwhelming majority had a little bit of slang in their tongue.
Maybe.
No?
You know, a lot of people think that only, you know, ignorant Southern, you know, a-holes are Trump supporters.
No, that's not true.
Well, I know that.
I would say
there
might be a slight majority there. There might be. I don't know.
I know a lot of folks that are quietly supporting Trump.
Yeah, are they supporting Trump or are they voting against Hillary? Because there's a difference.
There's a lot of those, too.
Because there's a difference there.
You know, because I know at some point you're going to ask me, so who are you voting for? And I can tell you what.
It ain't Hillary Clinton?
It's not going to be Hillary Clinton.
I think I'm just...
I'm not saying it's going to be Trump. I'm saying it's not going to be Hillary.
If there's not a decent third party, I think I'm just going to abstain. But
I'm looking at libertarians right now.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You know, I mean, the thing is, I don't want to talk about politics too much, but...
well, we're talking about political correctness.
We are, but they're not really hand in hand.
When you're talking about Trump, it is.
I mean, his appeal
is that he'll come out and say things that other politicians won't say.
He says things that other politicians won't say, but he doesn't go too far. Right?
Well, no.
He's not dropping N-bombs from the podium. You know what I mean?
Well, no, because, you know, I doubt that he feels that way.
I mean, I have no idea.
People say the guy is racist, and he's done some things that are very, very questionable.
Racist, dude.
But again, you know.
He might be racist.
He bought a country club in the South, I think in Florida somewhere, that didn't allow Jews or African Americans. He immediately washed that away and said, anybody's welcome to be a member here if they can afford the exorbitant price.
Right. That's awesome.
Right. So if somebody's racist, they're not necessarily going to do that.
And who knows? Yeah. I mean, who knows his motivations in doing that? I mean, it seems...
Well, you know what his motivation is? Cash.
It's money.
If you've got the money, I don't care if you're blue coming up in this piece.
Right.
You can afford the
$150,000
bump.
Yeah.
Hey, come on in.
Right.
We'd love to have you.
Anyway, what the hell were we talking about?
Political correctness.
Political correctness. Yeah. So, I think that all this stuff that's sweeping our campuses... across the nation right now is a little bit frightening because there are people there that are saying things like you can't say stuff like this. Like they're telling me also that I have to refer to myself as cisgendered, which means that I identify with the gender that I was born with.
Which is ridiculous.
And I'm going to tell you, if you want to call me that, go ahead. But fuck you. I can call myself whatever the fuck I want.
Exactly.
You know, I don't have to refer to myself as something so it doesn't offend you. Bullshit. You know, I'm a dude in America. That's it. Now, listen, I admit that I won the lottery by being born a white male in America. Right? I did.
For that face.
Well, I mean, dude, even that. You know what I mean? I'll take it. I mean, I've seen some busted up white dudes here in America.
Remember what Chris Rock said? He said, there's a down on his luck poor white man right now who would not change places with me.
And yeah. I'm rich.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ride this white thing and see where it takes me.
Well, it's Louis C.K. You can't deny that it is good, right? I'm not saying that being white, like being a white male, I'm better than you. But being white is clearly better than being anything else in this country. It just clearly is. And Louis C.K.'s whole bit is, he's like, I can get into a time machine right now and go back in time to any time in history and get out, and it's awesome for me.
Yeah.
Right? Not anybody else can say that.
Right.
And he's got a great point.
That's one of the things where, you know, people go, I want things to be like they used to be. There's a lot of people who don't want things to be like they used to be. Now, if they can be like they used to be for everyone... That might be cool.
Yeah.
Right before there was rampant crime and you know, horrible drug use and you know, all kinds of there's always been that.
Yeah.
But you know, back when things were quote unquote simpler, you know, who knows? You know, there was a certain charm to that in a nostalgic way.
Well, I think we've lost a lot in our lost a lot of society with our communication methods nowadays, yes, and our very busy lives, which is unfortunate. And we also have this, and this kind of leans into this conversation, we also have this vehicle for being able to shout, you know, from the rooftops almost anonymously, and say pretty much anything we want, which is sort of a good thing. But it's not good when you start getting around like-minded people who maybe have the wrong ideas, and you start, and then you go out into the real world and try to do the same shit. It doesn't work, you know.
Well, that's one thing that you know. I love the internet. I love Reddit for its memes.
Me too. Me too.
You know, based on the fact that over the course of this last couple of months at colleges, you know, people had chalked Trump 2016 on walls and or sidewalks, and there were some people who were really offended and shaken and needed to find quote unquote a safe space because of the hate speech. Okay.
Yeah, so
now because
ridiculous.
Of that, I saw a meme that said, you know, 80 years ago, whatever it was, 70 years ago, 19-year-olds were storming the beaches at Normandy.
Yeah.
You know, in 2016, you know, we need safe spaces in colleges because words hurt.
Now listen.
Ridiculous.
Listen, one is clearly better than the other, and it's not Normandy. But, I mean, honestly, the thing I find really ironic about this is because all these people are talking about check your privilege, which, dude, maybe some privileges still do exist. I don't fucking know, right? I've never experienced any of them, but maybe it does happen.
As far as you know.
As far as I know, I don't. You're right. I guess it's possible it could have happened, but I'm completely oblivious to it. And I actually have a video on racism. I talk about how oblivious I was to it until I got into high school. I didn't even know it was a thing. I just didn't know.
Right.
Right. I grew up in this community that was incredibly diverse. It was a trailer park community. So it was a really shitty low income community, but it was just a diverse community. Right. I mean, I had black neighbors and, people from Mexico. There was like a whole Korean family that lived there. Right. It was just normal. Right. I didn't know any better.
It was a melting pot.
I didn't know any better
in
until I got to high school.
Delaware.
Yeah, I got into high school, and there was, like, somebody came up to me, and it was, like, the third day of high school, and they were like, oh, the black dudes are fighting the white dudes, and I was like, why? And they were like, well, because they're black and white, and I was like, what? I was like, I don't, and that's when I realized that people actually did that. I have no idea.
For other reason other than.
Yeah, it sounds really stupid, but I had no clue. Like, I knew it happened in the past, like, I'd read about World War II and shit like that, but I had no idea that, you know, I'd read about Martin Luther King, and but I had no idea that it was, like, really a thing. I thought it was over. You know what I mean? So weird.
Or never existed.
Right.
When I was, I don't know, I was going to middle school or elementary school, so probably 7, 8 years old, something like that. Mm-hmm. My family lived in Milford, Delaware, little 5,000-6,000 person shithole little town.
Right.
You know, crossroad with a blinking light type of place.
Right.
A little bigger than that, but not much. Mm-hmm. My family and I lived in the upstairs of an upstairs downstairs duplex, and there was a woman who lived downstairs who had a grandson. She was an older lady, and she had a swing set that she had for him, and then she allowed us to play on it, my sister and I. So everything was fine, and we got along, and it was all good until one day, a friend of mine from school who lived nearby, because it was, you know, my family and I weren't rich, we were, you know, regular folks, I guess. A friend of mine from school, young African-American boy named Tony, came home with me because, I don't know, he's my friend.
Right.
And we're out there playing on the swing set, and the woman came out and screamed at her grandson to come in.
Wow.
And I didn't figure. I just thought.
Right, you're like, what?
Right. So as it turns out, this woman spoke to my mother, and you know, my father got involved, and it was a whole thing. And basically, she said, I'm going to take the swing set down because I'm not going to have my grandson playing with one of them.
Wow.
And as a 7 or 8 year old, I'm like, what is she talking about?
Right. Yeah,
we lived in a neighborhood. I went to a school where there was, like you said, all kinds of people.
Right. Yeah.
And we all played football, and we, you know, traded cards, and you know, that's where I first started playing like a fantasy football type thing.
Right.
It was, you know, but anyway, and it was all just people. And that was my first smack in the face with racism.
Reality.
And the fact that there was no other fact that because she didn't know the kid, you know, I'm still Facebook friends with the guy, unbelievably.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just the color of his skin.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
He had more melanin in his skin than you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a nice kid, great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I mean, it is like that. And getting back to what I was saying about privilege.
Your privilege, specifically.
No. I'm just saying that
white guy privilege.
I think that these people, these young adults that are in these universities or wherever they happen to be, and they're doing things like talking about hate speech with Donald Trump chalking. I think that they don't realize the privilege that they've been given, that they don't have anything else to protest. Because
more than likely,
because
yeah.
I mean, you know, universities,
if that's the worst you got it,
I mean,
you're doing all right.
Yeah, I think that they just, I mean, there's no real war right now. There's no real, I mean, there are other things that they should be protesting, like drone strikes or the NSA or, you know, I don't even, they could protest
there's a lot.
Internet restrictions or shit like that. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what?
Financial institutions.
Those things are boring. It's like protesting the tax system.
Yeah.
You know, you really only go, God damn it, it's April 14th. I got to make a move here.
Yeah.
You know, you only think about that. But, you know, taxes have become such a way of American life that you don't really think about it. So
yeah. It's
boring to talk about.
It
when
is.
when it becomes, you know, my tax system, snooze
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you rail against that because that's something that affects your ass daily.
Daily.
Right.
Yeah. So, why don't you complain about how expensive your goddamn university is?
Right.
Like, that's pretty messed up.
Well, by voting for Bernie, you're really complaining about the universities.
Well, I mean, they shouldn't be as expensive as they are.
You're telling me, dude.
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
I've got a kid who's going to college next
year.
Yeah,
but we load these kids up with debt and then spit them out into the world and they're like,
Well, my son was talking about a friend of his who's going to a college that is expensive as hell.
Yeah.
It's out of state, so it's more expensive.
Right.
And, you know, but my son was explaining to me how this kid, you know, what he's going to be majoring in is, you know, he walks out the door with a six-figure salary.
Wow, nice.
Allegedly. I said, but you know, the bad thing is between now and graduation, he may change majors.
He
may find that he doesn't want to do that. Or the market, the bottom drops out of that industry.
Yep.
And he's left with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yep.
Because of that. And he can't pay it. And you know what? Yeah. You declare bankruptcy, you still owe the student loans.
Yeah, oh yeah. They don't care.
Yeah.
And you should, I mean, honestly, you should be, that's the kind of shit you should be protesting.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm not saying that gender equality and, you know, Even including spaces for transgender people who don't identify with their birth gender or whatever, that's fine, man. I mean, I believe in equality, but that's where the line stops. You don't get special privileges.
Right. Well, the whole thing in North Carolina with the
so stupid.
The bathroom thing. You know what? There have been transgendered people for years.
Oh, a long time.
Nobody said a word.
No, and not only that, if you interview someone... Who is?
Have you ever been in a club and have some dude wearing a dress and a wig walk up next to you and pee at the urinal?
No, I haven't.
I had that.
Yeah,
in Rehoboth.
Wow. Yeah.
And he was like, "Sup?" And I was like, "Going? How's it going?"
Yeah.
And you know,
I mean, you know, I also think that the entire argument is ridiculous. I mean, I get not wanting dudes in the girl bathroom, right? I get it. Okay, you don't want a dude in the girl bathroom. That's their basic argument. But the thing is. Their stupid laws and all that kind of stuff, and they don't stop dudes from going in the girls' bathroom. They don't stop them.
Right.
It doesn't. I mean,
unless a cop is there.
You can make a fucking rule all you want, but if a guy, like, they're like, well, somebody could go in there with your kid. That can happen anyway. And not only that, the kind of person that would go in there with your kid doesn't give a fuck if there's a rule.
Exactly.
You know, because he's going to break a much bigger one probably once he gets inside. You know what I mean? So that it's just a stupid argument. You're only going to end up really punishing the people... that wouldn't otherwise be breaking the law. You know, that's really, you're looking for a way to punish someone because they're slightly different.
Sounds not unlike gun rights.
Well, I don't know about that. That's a different topic.
It is, but it's the same argument. By restricting firearms, you're not really restricting the person who's going to use it for illegal purposes anyway, because even if it's against the law,
a lot of people get killed by legal firearms. I would guess probably the overwhelming majority, if you include every kind of accidents and suicides and all that kind of stuff. I would say the overwhelming majority.
Would it make you feel better if they were pushed out of windows?
It would make me feel better if
that's an old Archie Bunker line.
Yeah, it would make me feel better if little kids didn't have access to that kind of shit. So, I mean, we have to figure out something with guns in this country because it's just too far. But at the same time, I don't think the right thing to do is more rules. I don't know what the right thing to do is, but I know that other countries have done it. and we could probably take a page.
You know what they do? Nothing. You got a bathroom. Use it.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid.
You know what? I think the best solution I saw yesterday was a two-stone pub up in Lantana Square on Route 7. I think.
Just had a bathroom?
They had two bathrooms, male, female.
It doesn't matter.
They had, you know, the thing with the dude looking in the dress thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had two of them.
One on each
Use
one.
Use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is. I mean, that's how it is at your house. You don't have a fucking bathroom for each gender in your house.
No, I do make my children come down here because they spend an hour and a half in there.
Well, that's, you know, a different, so, that's, yeah, a different topic.
A whole different bottle of wax right there.
Yeah. And I don't, I mean, I honestly don't blame you for doing that. I have two bathrooms and I make them use one too because I like my bathroom.
Yeah.
Basically, they just fuck it up. They just make it messy and it makes me crazy. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't go to, I mean, even like if you go to a fucking hotel, they don't have a, even if you have two beds in your hotel room, you get one fucking bathroom. Like, it's not like a thing that we don't do in this society that we share a bathroom. It's not like, I mean, we do it every fucking day.
There has been so many, and you know what?
So dumb.
There's been so many things that have been ridiculous that have been done in the name of, what about the children?
Yeah. Well, it's just an excuse.
It is, but you know what? You know, little innocent children, you know what? I'm all for protecting
them. Right.
Right. But you know what?
Pass a law that businesses have to have an employee stand, you know, next to the bathroom anytime a child enters it so that they can prevent bad people from going in.
Well,
or pass a rule that parents have to pay attention to their fucking kids. Or
if I'm sending, when my boys were younger, I'd go into the bathroom with
me
them.
Me too.
And you know what?
You know
when
what?
My wife was with them,
damn,
she'd take them in there with her.
I take my daughter
when they were 6
into
years
the,
old
into the men's bathroom all the fucking time.
Right,
all the time. You know, because I'm not letting her go into the girls' room by herself.
Right, and you can't go in.
Nope. So I take her into the boys' room. And that's just that.
And you walk in and go into a stall,
yep,
and nobody's the wiser. It's,
nobody cares. And my son, same thing, goes into the girls' bathroom with Jess. Not so much anymore. He's older now. But,
right.
But he did when he was younger. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, it's so fucking stupid that we're even talking about it, right? Not to mention,
and right now a drone is zeroing in on somebody about to fire a missile.
And paid fucking legislators, people whose job it is to make rules for this society that were elected by a fucking group of people, came up with this goddamn rule, and there are people that support it.
Well,
it's ridiculous. There's so many fucking problems.
Here's the thing, dude. Everybody complains.
You're worried about bathrooms?
Well, it's the
fuck are we doing?
There's a movie called Wag the Dog.
I saw that. Yeah.
Right, where
they faked the war or something.
Well, yeah, you whatever. Do to distract people from what was
right,
really
going on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, so oddly enough, shortly thereafter, the whole thing with happened with the Bill Clinton and his whole thing.
Yeah.
It was almost true to life. So anyway, everybody complains about Washington and had the corruptness of the people there, but every year, these guys and women who are corrupt and the part of the problem get voted right back in.
They do. And for the most part, locally, they do as well.
Right, it is.
Yeah.
And it's because, well, I can't vote for the other person because the other person's the other party, and I can never vote for the other party.
It's so broken. It's so broken.
It is.
It's so broken, which is why I think a Trump presidency is a disaster. I told you this on my phone the other day. I think it's a fucking disaster. But it might be the political hand grenade that we need to get us back on track, because if we keep going the status quo, nothing's going to fucking change. It's just going to keep getting worse, and you know, businesses will keep outsourcing jobs and making bajillions of dollars and not paying fucking taxes and like all this shit, right? That's wrong. You know what I mean? It's just wrong, right? I mean, we're way off on a fucking tangent now.
We can
do
that.
But how is it cool that I rent my life? I rent hours of my life to a company, right? For X amount of dollars, right? And I, you know, I have a contract with them for hours of my life, and they pay me X amount of dollars. How is that cool? And then the government takes my money. How is that cool that that company can then avoid putting back into the same system that allows that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm giving, I don't want to sound too entitled here, because I'm very lucky to be employed, and, you know, I live in America, and I do pretty well for myself. I have a lot of nice shit that I'm happy about. So I'm not complaining about my life. But I do think it's fucked up that I have to contribute to the society, but the companies that are really making the money don't have to contribute on the same level. I think that's fucked up.
Well, and
maybe they would have to employ less people. Maybe that's true. But even if that were the case, I think they still have to contribute at the same level.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm not sure what a Trump presidency would look like.
Ugh.
You know, who knows?
No, it's going to be bad. It's going to be fucking bad.
Well, you know
what?
He
gets that podium, he can say whatever the fuck he wants. And it's, I mean.
I agree. But you know what? I'm equally frightened of a Hillary presidency.
You shouldn't be, because we've already had it. Yeah, we've already had it. We've had it with Clinton. We've had it with Obama.
Yeah, we've had 16 years of it with 8 years of Bush, you know, which wasn't great either. So, you know, like you said, it would be interesting, and let's just blow the damn thing up.
I mean, I really think you'd see some interesting candidates come out after that type of disaster. Who knows? If Hillary gets in, we might see the same thing, too. Who knows? Because people are not happy with her either. So, and the real fucked up thing about, and God, we're way off on a tangent now. We're just going. The real fucked up thing about presidencies, and I think we talked about this, too, is people that are qualified to be president, don't want the fucking job.
Have no interest in the gig.
Fuck no. Why would you?
I wouldn't.
Yeah. There's no fucking way I'd want to be president, dude. It sounds awful. They work all the fucking time, right? They're surrounded by people that tell them basically how they should, you know, dress, act, speak. Fuck all
that. And everything is spun.
Yeah, everything is spun. Like, you have to campaign all the fucking time. You have to ask for money all the fucking time.
Well, you know, it's no secret that I'm not a huge Obama fan, but people who are Obama fans shouldn't take any offense at that, because I wasn't a Bush fan, I wasn't a Clinton fan, I wasn't a Bush 41 fan.
Right.
Reagan I was all right with, you know, I was young. So I don't really like any president because they don't really affect me that much.
Reagan was okay. The deregulation is kind of scary because it led to a lot of problems that we have. A lot of people got rich. But the thing about Reagan is there's two things that just kill his presidency for me. One is AIDS, right? They could have jumped on that.
Right. And the war on drugs.
Yeah. I mean, those two things just kind of, in hindsight, what the fuck, man?
Well, you know, I was reading one of these days we're going to do a random show on drugs.
We should.
It was almost tonight, in fact. So I was doing a little research about that.
Yeah.
That really, in the late 70s, deregulation of marijuana was coming down the pike.
It was.
There were a lot of states who had deregulated.
It was.
That deregulated, yeah. And then,
like, decriminalized.
Right. And then here comes the conservatism of the Reagan years with, you know, and Nancy's Just Say No and all like that. And it really swung the other way.
Yep.
And it's taken the decades since to start swinging it back kind of where it should be.
And what they've found is that the proliferation of crack throughout this country was actually started by the CIA.
Yeah.
And that's a proven fact. You can look it up.
That was one of those conspiracy theories that was actually true that we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Yep, Kill the Messenger. I think there's a that's the name of the book and the movie, I think.
Kill the Messenger.
Yeah, Renner's in it. It's a fucking awesome movie. Anyway.
So I was looking
to political crisis, I guess.
One thing that kind of led me to this topic was a Charlie Brown cartoon I saw just a couple days ago. I can't remember. Franklin, I think his name is, walks up to Charlie Brown and says, "I like being black." And Charlie Brown says, "That's nice." And then Charlie Brown says, "I like being white." And Franklin says, "Racist."
That's true.
Yeah, that's. I saw
a meme the other day that was like, "I'm proud to be Asian. I'm proud to be, African American. I'm proud to be Latino. I'm proud to be all this." And there was one that was proud to be white, and it was like racist. You know, but I think that the reason is that white culture doesn't really exist. We could talk about American culture.
Right.
But white is a melting pot of a bunch of different European nations, basically.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, I could say I'm proud to be Irish. Nobody would give a fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's probably where that comes from, you know?
I'm not real sure what I am, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm mostly Irish.
I think I have some Irish. I think I have some German. I think I have some Welsh.
Yeah.
For my birthday, I asked for the DNA thing that you can get done.
Oh, yeah.
23andMe or something like that.
Yeah.
It has yet to happen, and it's already, you know, a month later.
Wow.
But, you know,
it takes a while. Huh?
The wife has to say, do I need this send off for my own
birthday?
Oh,
you didn't send it yet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she didn't.
Bummer.
So, yeah. I'm.
How much is that, by the way?
I'm curious. $50. I'm like, there's cheaper ones.
$50? $150.
You can get, I think Ancestry.com does one for $40 or something, but they show you, like, you know, this is a, you know, mostly
interesting.
European, and there's a big chunk of other. I don't want other. I want to know exactly what
yeah,
those
see,
things are.
I feel like the thing is I'd throw that 150 down, I'd get a letter back, and I'd go, huh. And then I wouldn't think about it ever again.
Well, you know, right. I may not, but, yeah. You know, there's some rumors that there's some Native American in my background.
Oh, that would be interesting to know.
I want some of that casino money,
too. Oh, yeah? You looking for that?
Because if you got a little bit of that, if you're like even 1/32nd,
yeah,
I can say that I'm Native American.
Really?
Is that how it's working for Elizabeth Warren. She's like 1/32nd Native American. Really? Yeah, she put out a cookbook.
Well, you can fucking say whatever you want,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly.
You know? There was that chick that worked for the NAACP that identified as African American,
but was as white as you and me.
Yeah, she was a white girl. Yeah, but I, you know what? I don't even see anything wrong with that. And apparently, she was doing a great job.
Well,
I don't care.
I think the problem was is she misrepresented her race to get where she got.
Well, why does that matter though?
Well, because
if she was good at her job, who gives a fuck?
Well, if she was good at her job and was truthful about, you know,
why does she have to be truthful?
Really?
About race? Why do you have to disclose it? Why do you have to?
Because I don't think it was like she was asked. I think she actually was doing things to let people think, to lead people to that
point. I don't
know.
It's a gray area for me.
Well, if she walked in and said, you know, check the Caucasian box on the application when she walked in and got to where she got.
I don't think you even have to answer that question.
You don't.
Yeah.
But she misrepresented herself, and that was a problem.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, you know, maybe she did, but I think it's kind of funny that, you know, you had somebody who was doing a great job. And, you know, for an organization that works for the betterment of a certain race, and then you fired her for being a different race. It's sort of ironic a little bit.
There's a lot of irony there.
Just a little bit.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Brian Williams talks about taking being under fire at a place, and he gets fired from his job, and basically his career is for the most part over.
It's over, yeah.
Hillary Clinton lies about being under fire when she comes off the plane. She's running for president, so there's a huge double standard there.
Well, I mean, presidents have and political figures have gotten away with a bunch of shit forever. Dude.
That's trying to tell me the politicians lie?
They're full of shit, Kevin.
Good God, dude!
Yeah,
I didn't know this. Wait a minute,
yeah.
Hold on.
And they've always been full of shit.
So what you're telling me is politicians are untruthful,
right? Honest Abe probably wasn't honest at all. In fact, it might be the biggest lie in the history of all of politics, calling someone completely honest, because nobody is. So, you know, I lie to you all the fucking time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm always truthful with you.
No, you're not.
Sure I am.
No, you bullshit me constantly.
Why do you think that?
I have walked into many a room and you've told me your ass wasn't out, and then there it was.
Fair enough. Well, in the interest of transparency,
okay,
I will tell you that I did get home at 7:45 tonight.
Wow!
But I was hungry and I wanted to eat, so I told you 8:30 was cool.
Wow!
You wouldn't have been able to come over anyway because you were doing something else.
No,
I told you 8:30, so
yeah,
I stuck with that.
I would have been here at 8.
Would you?
I mean, roughly, yeah. We could have gotten started a little earlier. I could have gotten to sleep a little better, but you know what? I got to spend a little more time with my kids, man. So. Yeah.
You know what? It all
worked
out. You're
a giver.
Well, you know, it was really, I was self-serving in my decision to not let you know
I was
home.
But you could have just told me you need to get something to eat and let's do it at 8:30.
I didn't tell you that, you know, I just got home from the game. I just said 8:30 works.
I know, but you could have told me that. I wouldn't have fucking cared. You don't got to beat around the bush.
I didn't beat around the bush.
You beat around the bush.
I said 8:30.
There was a bush and you were beating around it a
little
bit.
Absolutely not.
There was some beating.
Now, I was at a game with my son, but only seven kids showed up.
This is how politicians fucking spin shit.
Not spinning it.
You were spinning it a little bit.
I went to a baseball game, like I said I was. Yeah. Not enough kids showed up, so they had a little practice, and then I was able to leave. I got home at about 7:45.
Wait, kids don't show up for fucking games now?
I guess.
There's a little bit of rain?
Well, a couple of kids went to the wrong ball field.
Oh.
And couldn't. And once you get 20 minutes past game time start, the umpires leave. Because otherwise, they do. We just have to go, because we can't stay here all night.
Wow.
And if we're here and it gets too dark and somebody gets hurt, then we're liable. Anyway, so it ended early. I came home. I was like, well, I could call Lyle now, but I'd really like to have dinner. So I did tell him 8:30. So, you know.
Just leave it at 8:30.
I left it at 8:30. So that's not spinning.
That's a little bit of a spin.
That's not beating around the bush.
You texted me that 8:30 was going to be good at 8:15 or so. Like, I think it was 8:09. So you had been home a while.
I think I had sat down at that point with my burgers.
Whatever.
And had my phone in my hand.
It's so. Mute, Kevin.
Yeah. See, it's I'm just I'm trying to be transparent, man. Because if you think I'm lying to you, I want to be truthful.
Whatever, man. I mean, we all lie a little bit.
Right? I'll tell you what. From here on out, I will make fully clear that my ass is out when you walk into a room.
No, you won't. Yeah, that was definitely a lie.
Damn it.
Anyway, back to the whole thing. Yeah, I just, you know, I think that what's sort of scary about this new movement, people have always complained about political correctness. I remember people bitching about it in the 90s and stuff like that. But I never saw it as that big of a deal. It was something you chose to do. And
almost made fun of, like, I know this is politically incorrect, but blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah.
And I think that on television news agencies and stuff like that, you should probably try to be as least offensive as possible because you're trying to report on something. You're not
right.
voicing opinions in that case, usually. But, you know, where it's gone from there to this new extreme now that people need safe spaces and all this kind of shit, I just think it's a tragic misrepresentation of what the origin of it was intended to do. Right, the origin of it was intended to eliminate hate speech from popular culture, right? Because it used to be really politically fine to say whatever you wanted about any race,
right.
joke about them, say all that kind of stuff, even if it was offensive. And I'm sure sometimes people felt really bad about that. Nobody likes being made fun of. You know what I mean?
I saw something the other day that fat is the last. Frontier for shaming.
Do you know Trigglypuff?
No.
Do you know what just happened? So there was a, I think it was in somewhere in, maybe it was New Hampshire. I don't know. But it was somewhere in the Northeast. That guy you were talking about, Milo.
Yannopoulos.
Yeah. Him and a couple
I
other
may
people,
have mispronounced that.
Yeah. Him and a couple other people were speaking at this university. And this chick, did you look it up, Trigglypuff? This chick starts freaking out in the audience talking about, get this hate speech off of my campus, get this hate speech. She got the worst shrill voice. And she's an unattractive, heavier woman in her early 20s with the worst voice ever. And, of course, the internet picked her up and labeled her Trigglypuff after the Pokemon Jigglypuff. Nice. And there's all these memes out about her now and stuff like that. But she is a, I was reading some stuff about her, like her profile online, and she is a, one of those people that is, pro body, like no matter what.
Right.
And listen, man, you should be proud of yourself. You know what I mean? You go for it, dude. But I'm going to tell you right now, Kevin, if you took a picture of yourself in a Speedo and put a picture online of you in a Speedo, and it said next to it, dude, me too. This is what a Speedo body looks like because everybody has a Speedo body.
Right.
People are going to fucking make fun of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you look ridiculous.
Well, even a thin guy looks ridiculous in a Speedo.
That's true. But she was wearing a bikini and she posted a picture of herself. And she is not even remotely close to thin.
Right.
And I think there's an inherent danger in that, though. Be proud of yourself. Go ahead, man. Nobody's perfect. We don't look like supermodels. Nobody does. You know, except for
supermodels.
Yeah, the supermodels. But even they have to work tirelessly to be that way, and they still get a lot of airbrushing and a lot of that kind of stuff. Be proud of yourself, sure. But don't think that being fat is okay, because it's incredibly unhealthy.
It is unhealthy.
You know, so, you know, you should definitely do what you can to reduce that, because it's incredibly unhealthy. Who gives a fuck about your beach body? You know what I mean? Go ahead. Wear strong. I don't care. Wear a fucking bikini. I don't give a shit. But you know what? Eat a fucking salad, because you know what I mean? You can't cram Twinkies down your fucking hole all the time and expect to live past, you know, 50. You just can't.
So looking at this article from the Washington Post.
What is this about?
January 4th, political incorrectness.
Oh, okay.
Or political correctness. And basically the article is why Trump may be winning the war on political correctness by Karen Tumulty and Jenna Johnson. She's talking about, they're talking about a woman who works on a campus at a prestigious liberal arts college in Ohio. And this person says, you know, I couldn't say Merry Christmas.
Whoa, 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 whoa. There are no prestigious campuses in Ohio.
Could be Ohio State.
Okay, maybe. I don't know.
Could be Case Western.
Yeah? I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I'm just fucking with Ohio.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Sorry. She said, and this person, Kathy Cuthbertson, anyway, said, I couldn't say Merry Christmas. And when we wrote things, we couldn't even say he or she because we had transgender people of color. I mean, we had to watch every word that came out of our mouth because we were afraid of offending someone, but nobody's afraid of offending me, she said.
Yeah, I think we have to.
I feel for that because.
I do too, but at the same time, I've never understood the Merry Christmas thing. You know, just because you don't celebrate Christmas, like it wouldn't bother me at all if somebody said, hey, today's Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. It wouldn't fucking bother me. I'd go, oh, okay.
Well, because, well, this may sound weird coming from me, but because you're not an asshole.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe, you know, I never understood that.
Yeah. You know what? I used to go to a Chinese restaurant all the time.
Yeah.
On Szechuan, up on Kirkland.
Oh, yeah. We've been there before.
I went there, you know, it was around the holiday season, and the guy who was obviously not a Christian.
Right.
You know, I'm making an assumption, but the Chinese guy, probably not Christian.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That is an assumption. That's an offensive assumption.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But he said to me, Merry Christmas. And I said, hey, thanks. Merry Christmas to you.
Right.
Now.
Just something people say. It's intended to be polite. See, and I think that's another thing. It's if your intentions are to be polite or at the worst neutral, come the fuck on. I mean, you know, we have to, like, if I can't say he or she. Because there are people that identify with different genders. I'm sorry. This is the way people talk in our society.
Well, what you do is you make the S and you put the slash and then the H-E.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just, I mean, I know that a lot of textbooks and children's books have gone to using feminine terms. But there was a chick online the other day that got very angry about.
Chick?
Yeah.
That's a very chick. Offensive term.
I don't care.
Don't you mean broad?
That's how I speak. Bitch. Because wow. This lady was a bitch.
All right.
She was very angry about the feminine products aisle in the grocery store because some men get their periods because they identify as men. You know, it's just like, well, I mean, look, lady, these are feminine hygiene products because that's how they've been identified in our society forever. You know what I mean? You can't just because, you know, somebody identifies as a different gender, everybody has to change their shit.
Right, you know what I mean? The 4% of the population is doing this.
And that is not intended to be a slight against them. It's just how we have to call it something. You know what I mean? If you call it hygiene products, people get fucking confused.
Right.
Because
most people are stupid.
Yeah, because it might be fucking. Then where do you find the mops? Do you go down the hygiene products? Oh, shit, this is tampons. There's 13 fucking hygiene product aisles now. You know what I mean? Like you can't be that neutral. You have to be specific about things in language. You have to.
And you know what? Sometimes, even though, you know, you may look at that and go, that's probably not the best way we could do this.
Yeah.
You know what? Leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know what? That offends me a little. Go about your day.
And maybe it's just because I grew up in such a relaxed atmosphere. I just, things don't really get to me that much. They don't, dude.
Dude, I
hate everyone equally.
Yeah, I know, but...
They don't.
You mean things don't offend you much.
Things don't offend me
All
much,
kinds
yeah.
of shit bother you on a well, daily
that's
basis.
That's probably true, yeah. Yeah, things don't offend me.
Okay, that'll buy.
Yeah,
or me either. Even, you know...
I don't really get offended.
You know, I one of my favorite things to do is to make a fat joke at my own expense and watch the uncomfortable awkwardness look, yeah. on other people's faces yeah. because they're like, oh my God, what do I do? I can't laugh. And I just love that.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I'm perfectly self-aware.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm confident beyond my...
Self-deprecating humor is one of my best qualities.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so I'll tell a fat joke on myself.
Yeah. Listen, a lady even said something to me when I was in California. I hadn't seen her in a while. And she was like, oh, I didn't even recognize you. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got the beard now. And I was like, what are you trying to say? Like, I put on too much weight? And she was like, well, you have put on some weight. And I was like, wow, a lot of people would have got offended by that. But I didn't give a fuck.
Right.
I didn't care at all.
And she could make that joke with you because you
right,
wouldn't.
Right. I didn't care at all. Yeah, I just think it's... I have a lady that I work with who's Asian, and she has terrible eyesight. And we argue all the time about stuff, but in kind of a playful, fun way. And I can't tell you how many times she has told me that when we end up in HR, I have zero chance because I'm a white American male and she's an Asian who's blind. Like, I'm just fucked.
Right.
And I love that. And she's not offended... I'm not offended, right? We're having it. We have a good relationship. We chit chat about it. I think we have to be loose about these things, because if we're all tight butthole about every single little thing, we're not going to get really important shit accomplished, which is, I think, one of the core, like, really depressing things about these issues, and kind of alludes back to when we were talking about the protesting and what's worth protesting and all that kind of stuff, is there's more important shit going on than what we call a fucking feminine hygiene product aisle. Like, there's just way
or
more...
Or that somebody wrote something that you know, basically, everybody wants free speech as long as it's an idea that they agree with.
By definition, popular speech does not need protection.
Well, even if it's unpopular, well, it kind of goes to that, I guess. Yeah. But if you've got a group of people standing there, or a couple of people standing there, and another couple of people walk by, then they're talking about something that mm-hmm. may offend these other two mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. or they don't agree with it. That doesn't mean that person's what they're talking about is any less important or less valid because right. this person has a different opinion.
Yeah.
You know, and it's extremely closed-minded. And colleges are supposed to be the place where people go to express free thought.
See, and the thing is,
but they just can't anymore.
It is. That's totally true. And I think that's quite horrifying. But I think that the stuff that it's leaking into that's starting to become really alarming are things like you hear people talk about rape culture. And, you know, consent cannot be had if you're drinking alcohol.
Right.
Even with your life partner, like even with me and Jess right now, we've been together 15 fucking years. We drink together one night, decide to have sex. Somebody raped somebody. And it's usually the dude raped the girl.
Right. Nobody ever says, well, you know what? He had just as many drinks as she
and
did.
The thing that I find really horrifying about that is they talk about rape culture. And when you think of rape, you think of a man raping a woman. I don't know if you know this, but by far in this country, men rape men more than women. By far, because of the prison system.
Right.
By far, adult males abuse children, male children. By far.
How like many times can you say by far?
By far. It's just a staggering number. I mean, it's not even close, right? And when you look at the rape statistics, they're including people that were intoxicated. They're including people that felt regret about having sex. Dude, there's some times I threw my dick on the crack table to, quote Mr. Eddie Murphy and woke up not too happy about it. You know what I mean? I was like, what was I doing? You know what I mean?
Threw my dick on the crack table.
Crap table. Yeah.
Crap table.
Yeah. Threw my dick on the crack table many a night. And come on. Oh shit. Herpes.
You know? I never went there, but
you don't know that joke?
I do, but okay. I'm saying never, you know, ended up crapping out, as it were.
No. But I'm just saying I have rolled the dice, you know, and woken up and been like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that.
So the whole thing, you gnaw your arm off so you don't have to wake her up.
Yeah. So I mean, the thing is, like, we've all experienced that. That's part of fucking growing up. Like, we all experience things like that. To call that rape is just such a stretch of the word. It's not even. It's redefining it. And well, that's really fucking scary, because there's real rape that happens. Well, like, that's horrible.
What it's doing is let me try to think of the right way to put this. What it's really doing is it's making
like watering it down.
It's what exactly yeah. It's watering it down. It's by making you know, everything rapey.
Yeah.
The actual real cases of rape are kind of you know, it's like this again,
which is a
where
super fucking serious crime.
Oh right? Yeah.
It's a super serious crime. It's like
they talk about rape and murder because those are the two worst things you can do.
Yeah.
So by you know by somebody crying rape because they changed their mind the morning after consensual sex.
Yeah.
And you know, people go to prison for years or get kicked out of their school or whatever.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's sad.
Right. And what that does is it makes people not take the real cases of rape mm-hmm. as serious, because mm-hmm. you become. You're not immune to it, but if you get inundated with all this information about it, you know, you just basically hit blank all of it out.
Now, I mean, you know, I think
which
that,
sucks.
Listen, I you know, I'm sure that you have had
desensitized was the word I was
there.
Looking
you
for.
Go. I think that you know, there's probably a lot of people out there that regret having sex with someone for a night, but there's probably a lot of people out there.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that regret having sex with me.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, me too.
No
dude.
Doubt.
And I
myself included.
And
because
I, and dude, you know. We all have had long-term relationships that were kind of like, oh, what the fuck was I doing there? right? So did I get raped for 6 months? Is that what happened? You know what I mean? Like, so it's just so silly.
Have you ever been raped? It sounds
so stupid. No, I haven't.
I was taken against my will one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. By a man or a woman?
By a woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah? That happened to you, huh?
It did.
It happened to a couple kids that I knew, grown up with. It was an older girl. They were like 13 or something, and she was like 17. It happened to them, too. But
now,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I wasn't like, you know, tied and, you know, but I was like attacked.
Wow.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, my friend's drunk. Can you take her home? Yeah, I'll give her a ride home because I wasn't drinking. So, yeah, I'll give her a ride home. Mm-hmm. And on the way there, she's like, oh, pull over. I'm going to be sick. And I'm like, shit, you're not going to throw up in my car. So I pulled over.
Right.
And she wasn't sick. Clothes started coming off and she jumped on me. Now, I could have fought her off, I guess. I didn't want to do it. I didn't like this person. But she was going to have her way.
Wow.
And so I was, you know, basically what I did was I just
laid back and let it happen.
Yeah, I mean, because she was violently going for it.
Wow.
So.
Wow, revelations here on Random.
Yeah, man.
See, and dude, I think.
I was about a lad of 22.
I think that's very serious, dude. Yeah. I think it is. I think that's an unfortunate thing. And I think we need to have a very strict definition of the word rape. I think it's been getting watered down for years and years with these sex offender laws. Right, they call things rape that aren't necessarily rape, like
they call things sexual crime. Like,
well, I mean, if a 25-year-old teacher has sex with a 17-year-old student, you know what I mean, and not in a forceful way, in a consensual way. I know that a student can't really consent, and a child can't really consent by law.
Right, I actually saw a teacher with an over 18-year-old student. She still went to jail.
Yeah, that's crazy talk. I mean, and the other thing that I can't figure out, Kevin, is why everybody's so goddamn horny that they just throw their fucking life away. What are all these people doing? Like,
I don't know. What I want to know is I had some major crushes on some teachers when I was in school.
Where were they? Yeah, right.
What the hell happened, man?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
That's the whole South Park bit. Nice. They're like, oh, a teacher raped a student. And they're like, well, the teacher was a female. And then they go, nice. That was the whole South Park bit.
And you know what? The female teachers would get away with it if the boys could just keep their mouth shut. But you can't.
Yeah.
You know, if you're nailing the science teacher.
There was a teacher just in Appaquinimic, where the school district my children go to, a female teacher who was a middle school and elementary school teacher who had an inappropriate sexual relationship with one of her students who was, I think he was 13. Dude, she's sending him pictures. Naked, she's sending him nudes. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I have a 14-year-old son.
Yeah.
I would be upset.
Yeah.
At that.
Yeah.
My 18-year-old son would be like, damn, well, dude, you graduate in a month. Go hit that afterward.
Whatever.
You know what I mean?
Whatever.
You know, if you want, but.
But she was, you know, she was sending him nudes, and the mom found out, and she was eventually arrested. She was a music teacher, and. But the thing that I can't figure out is why would you fucking do that?
Uh-huh.
Why would you send evidence? Are people that fucking stupid?
Yes.
Is that really what's going on?
Absolutely.
Because I just don't get it, man. I get horny. I like women. You know what I mean? There's definitely been times when I've walked down the street and saw a pretty lady and been like, wow, she's very attractive. I would like to copulate with her. But that's where it ended. You know, it didn't get any. It didn't get weird.
You didn't follow her around.
I told you a story about the girl that was outside of college one night when I used to teach at this college in Delaware. And there was a woman standing out in front, and she asked me for a cigarette. It was back when I smoked all the time. She asked me for a cigarette. We sat there and had a cigarette, and she's laughing at my jokes. Like, I'm like, well, what's
and your
going
jokes
on here?
Suck.
Yeah, they are. They're terrible. I was probably 23 at the time, and I'm like, what up? And, you know, we're talking for like 10 minutes, and she gives me her number.
Wow.
I'm like, sweet. And then she goes, I'm kind of nervous tonight. I was like, why? She was like, oh, I'm drawing a nude model, you know, because they had a lot of nude models in there. I was like, it's no big deal. Like, you know, and she was like, yeah, but I'm only 15. And I was like, whoa. She was some kind of brainiac kid who, you know, breezed through school and was now attending this artsy college.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was like, whoa. And dude, that shink, it immediately ended for me right there.
Oh,
I was like, hey, all right, goodbye. Right? Dude, she was beautiful. I had no idea she was 15.
Well, it's funny because memes the past couple days on Reddit.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I was like, I'm 33, just re-entered the dating pool, met a girl, got a number. She texts me and asked me if I can buy her and her friends alcohol. She's like 14. I'm like,
yeah.
You know what? I can spot a 14-year-old.
Well, I couldn't. At the time, she looked like an adult.
Well, plus the
and she was out of college.
The context was not 15-year-old. Right. You think if she's there going to a college,
right?
She's 18 plus.
Right. We didn't meet at Chuck E. Cheese.
right, because that would be weird.
Can I buy you a cheese pizza, man? anyway,
just can't even.
I know it's funny, but dude, but that, like that's where it ended for me right there. Like it wasn't even a question in my mind.
You didn't rub one out later?
No, dude. Yeah. No. I was just like, all right, look, she's unavailable. That sucks, but she's unavailable. And dude, she was beautiful. Beautiful. You know, I probably really made a mistake. I probably should have been like, hey, 3 years, man, call me.
But you'd met Jess by then.
I had.
Your life path was where you were headed
already,
down.
It was already defined. But dude, I mean, you know, I don't think... I don't understand why people are so goddamn horny that they can't control themselves, like at all. Yeah, I don't get it. You, where the fuck did we go with this conversation?
I don't know. But with that lull, time to hit the music. You know, it's funny because when we talk about what we're going to talk about before we start talking about it, I'm going to like, can we fill an hour doing that?
Yeah, we'll just fucking ramble.
Yeah, we cracked an hour and 10.
Yeah, we'll just ramble. Whatever.
We have no idea if this is entertaining at all.
I had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because Lyle comes over, we start talking about our topic, and we're like, we need to stop talking about this.
We need to stop.
Because we need to talk about it when we need to talk about it.
Yeah. And honestly, we could probably keep talking for another 2 hours.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, people, they got to go to work, man. You can't fucking listen to this all the time. And our dumbasses.
So we'll be back next week with the Fantasy Football Guys on the other channel. Make sure you check out Tour Bus Confidential with Kyle Conkiel interviewing Doc Coyle.
It is out now.
It's on iTunes right now. Just search for Tour Bus Confidential.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, subscribe and review if you like it.
Yep.
You can also tweet at some point.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll find the Twitter address. Yeah, we'll launch it all tomorrow on both the random Twitter feed and the Fantasy Football Guys one.
Right.
So Doc Coyle is first, and many, many more to come.
Some very cool ones.
Yeah. Have you listened to them all yet?
I just forwarded you
another one yesterday.
I didn't hear that.
It's fucking good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so do that, and we'll be back in a couple weeks to talk about, I don't know.
Something.
We were talking about, actually, tonight doing an F, Mary, Kill. Yeah, I guess I can say fuck here.
You can.
Fuck, Mary, Kill. Just with, you know, just an hour's worth of fuck, marry, kill.
So funny because it's the opposite of political correctness.
Yeah.
Which chick?
Which chick would I bang? Which chick would I kill? Which chick would I marry? All right, we're out of here, bitches. Have a good one.
See ya.
See ya.